Hello, everyone, and welcome to Now Spinning, the official podcast of the Lansing Community College Vinyl Record Club. We meet twice a month to listen to vinyl and talk about music. Stay tuned to learn about how you can get in touch with us and attend our meetings. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Now Spinning. Today, we have a very special episode for you guys. But first off, let's introduce everybody in the room.
I'm Jacob Zakvik.
And I am Noah Miller.
And I'm still Simon Medina, as far as we know. Today is a little interesting because this is our first time interviewing an artist, like an actual album artist. We've had artists in here before, like people who draw, but we never had someone who's like recorded a whole album before. And this person, I believe some of you might be familiar with him. We've had him on the show a couple times. He's a good friend of the show. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Like I mentioned, my name is Noah Miller.
Fantastic.
And like they mentioned, I have an album coming out. It's going to be called Mutually Assured Destruction. It's going to be dropping on June 6th. I've got a couple songs out now, and then at the time of recording, I'm working on getting clearance for a cover song, a Pink Floyd cover off of The Wall. We'll see how that goes. I'll try and have it drop by Wednesday the 22nd, or Thursday the 22nd, my bad. But yeah, so we'll see how that goes.
Very awesome. So I just wanted to start out by asking, have you ever released music before, or is this like your first time really diving into it?
I've kind of released it anonymously under kind of a pseudonym of Xenix, I think, on audio. I've spelled it a couple different ways depending on, you know, where I've used it, but usually it's X-E-N-Y-X, and it's got like this character that I made in like... I think paint.net.
Ooh.
And just kind of, you know, it's the step below Photoshop. It's almost there, but so it's basically just like this triangle guy who's kind of like an eyeball himself and more of a rhombus. He's more of
nice.
A rhombus eyeball.
I mean, I'll be honest, it sounds a bit like this is a profile you made in like middle school.
College, early college.
Okay.
Which was like, you know, 6 years ago because of the pandemic. Like I started 2019 and, you know, the pandemic kind of screwed things up. Yeah. We started you and I were in the first class I had in college.
Yeah. We should mention, of course, Noah is a LCC alumni.
Yeah.
We're one of the last people to get the music recording
for DMAC, yeah.
DMAC, like specialization?
Yeah, DMAC is a digital media audio cinema. Went through the program for that. I was initially going for the specialist, which included, you know, the video aspect of as well, and TV production class with the three-camera setup and, you know, the audio board and all that kind of stuff and, you know, the prompter, the different camera stuff and change switchboards and all that. It was a little overwhelming for me. It's kind of when I realized I might want to strip back just a little bit. So I went back to just doing audio and kind of went through that. The capstone classes that I had with Brock that you and I also had, those were probably my favorite ones because we got to use the actual studio here at the TLC building. Yeah, no, that was just really cool being able to record bands and stuff. That's pretty much what I want to do as far as a career path. I know that a field is kind of dwindling. But, you know,
well,
go ahead.
You are the exact example of that. You don't necessarily need a studio to record an album anymore. You basically did this whole thing in your basement, right?
Yeah. Parents' basement. Still live with the folks. Thanks to them.
Nothing wrong with that.
Live with them as long as you can try and build a foundation so you can get out. You know, if you can stand them, which, you know, thankfully I can.
It's the economic situation a lot of young people find themselves.
I recognize that I'm kind of in a bit of a, you know, I'm in a position that not everyone necessarily has all the time.
You're blessed.
So, you know, there definitely is that. I kind of have opportunities that other people don't. So I am willing to recognize that. Mm-hmm.
They'll be in the liner notes, right?
Especially
mom and dad. Every album, it seems like, has a mom and dad listed somewhere.
Dedicated to my parents. Some kind of thing like that.
Which is, you know, it's just great.
Yeah. You can't make an album without being born. That's very important. That's probably the most important part of the album creation process. But I was going to say, I think definitely those classes paid off because I think this album does, like the singles you put out so far sounds really great. I know you were mentioned earlier, like it was like the snare was very
punchy.
Yeah,
punchy.
That's what you like to hear.
I find that it comes through a bit better on Apple products, strangely enough. Strangely enough, duh, they kind of specialize in that sort of thing. But I am Samsung gang, so But yeah, so I don't know. I, you know, I made this on my laptop in my basement, and I had an actual amp, like instead of just like an Orange Crush, like 1x10 or something that I had.
You weren't using direct input. You were miking amps.
I was miking amps, but I was also using some direct input on some tracks. There was one that's on the album. It's called Eternity Sigh. It's part of the Four Kings suite that I'm going to have as part of it. It does have re-recorded guitars because the performances that I had on it, I needed to kind of redo them and make it just a bit tighter. That was one of the songs that, even though I've had it for a long time, like some of these songs date back to like 2019 and some of them with my former project that I'm trying to get started off now. So also bonus, I need players to jam with. So if you want to hit me up, just hit me up on, I'll try and put some socials somewhere.
Sure.
But I have a YouTube channel and stuff like that. So you can follow me on there. It's just my name, Noah Miller. But back on track to the, it was in my basement, just on the laptop with, you know, the Mesa Boogie that, or not a Boogie, the Bogner that I got. I had some direct input on there as well. I actually ended up finding some amp simulators that I liked.
Nice.
So I was able to add a little bit more body to the guitars, a little bit more top end to some of the lead guitar sounds that I had on there too. There's a mix of live guitars and more importantly, live drums. Yeah, I'm also blessed enough to have the space and ability to record a drum kit and also have the ability to play everything incorporated on the album as well.
Mm-hmm. Very awesome.
Yeah, and that's, you know, not to overstate, but like it's important for a musician to be able to do a lot. But when you can do everything,
yeah,
it gives you so much more creative freedom. And I'm sure for you, it let you set your own kind of timetable and schedule for recording the album. And probably, while there's, you know, added stress of having to do all of it, I assume there was less stress in that you didn't have to find a bunch of people to do all this stuff.
Yeah, there are some sections where I'm not as confident in my solo ability. I'm much more confident in my, rhythm guitar and, just part writing in general. But with leads, I tend to have a harder time with my confidence as far as that goes. So I'll usually kind of outsource that. And shout out to my girlfriend, Tatiana. She plays violin very well, and I would love to have her play on some of my tracks. But, it's just she has a lot of other stuff on her plate and a lot of other things going on at the same time. And, she hasn't played violin in quite a while, so she would have to kind of brush up and get familiar with the key and all that.
Right. Well, it's such a resonant instrument. Like, the recording requirements for that, you're going to have to really kind of practice and figure that all out. But from what I've heard of your recording stuff so far, you've done a very good job, so I'm sure you're fully capable.
I've done the best job in the space that I can. The recording space is kind of awkward because it was my dad's man cave and then the bedroom down there as well. And then my sister moved out and then I took her bedroom and then moved downstairs after, they wanted to kind of swap rooms with that. It's not exactly designed for it. My dad didn't build the area in the hopes of like, oh, my kid's going to have a studio in here one day. Like, it's kind of, I get what I get.
I've been there like once or twice. It's like 7 foot by 7 foot by 7 foot, right? It's basically a little box.
I'm working with about, I think, 140 square foot.
Okay.
I think.
You made it work. I mean, it sounds pretty good. It sounds really good.
Yeah. It can get very cramped, and I've rearranged the setup, for the umpteenth time at this point. It's taken a lot of different forms down there, so I've tried to find the best way of organizing it to where I can still walk around and record and run behind the drum set and start playing and whatever. And it's been a whole like run around. It can get kind of frustrating at points.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I was going to ask. So again, like just starting off with that, recording a whole song by yourself, like where do you start with that? What's the first, does it go by like instrument or is there like for each song, is it different? Is there one you always try to start out with?
Usually I try and start off with a scratch guitar. I'm not really too focused on the performance at that point because I know that's just to get the timing and it's for something so that the drums can kind of link up to. So I guess performance in that sense, in being that I need to be able to perform with it. But usually at that point, there's not a whole lot of pressure to get everything like picture perfect in the middle, but enough to where the drums can be solid. Then I'll record the drums, and then depending on the song, kind of either bass or guitar. And with guitar, I end up using like 3 or 4 mics, I think. Because I have 2 speakers, and then I've got like this one setup where I've got mic stand and then a thing that kind of goes off into a T and can hold like 2 mics. So I've got that on 1 speaker. It's vintage 30, and then I've got a G12 in the Bogner as well. So there's kind of more like metal-esque tones from the guitar amp itself. And then vocals after that, between, you know, after bass and guitar. And then, yeah, vocals tend to be kind of the bottleneck of a lot of projects. Mm. Usually I'll have all the instrumentals and stuff built up with all the instruments and the final performances that I'm going to have. And then the vocals will come on afterwards, because I just kind of need like a little bit of space between where, you know, my mom works at home. So when I'm recording and stuff, she can hear everything I'm doing. And with all the instruments, it's fine. But when I want to do vocals, there's just something that gets in the way for me.
It requires a lot of confidence to record your own voice and listen back to it and say, yeah, that's good. And especially when your mom's upstairs, like, you're not going to start screaming, you know, giving it your full heart. That you got to be pretty comfortable singing in front of your mother.
Yeah, it's not that like I'm afraid of like hearing my own voice back or anything like that. Or, you know, I can do like, you know, the scream or like growl vocals or something like that. You know, if I need to punch those in, that's not really that big of an issue. But it's like the straight like singing and stuff like that, that I just need a little bit of space for. So there is like a little garden shed that we have that I used during the winter. I recorded this from like October to, I think I was done March of this year. So it took about 5-6 months to fully finish. But yeah, no, it's pretty much ready. Yeah, a couple of songs out streaming now. But yeah, just needed that space to get the vocals done.
So 2 questions related to that.
Okay.
Do you think that the space itself contributed to the sound at all? And I guess my second question I can kind of lump in at the same time. Did you feel the need to put reverb and such on them to either mask the space or just get the sound you wanted? I'm kind of curious on all of those.
Usually I tried to get as dry of sounds as I could so that I could add the reverb and stuff onto it later. As far as the drums go, I've been recording drums down there for a while, just kind of trying to experiment and, you know, make my mixes sound better. So the room itself hasn't really given me much issue. I'm sure if I put bass traps in the corner and stuff like that, did more to like, you know, cut off the reflectiveness of the cement wall that is sometimes like right behind the drum set, or, you know, in this case, it was kind of on the other side of it. Yeah, I did add reverb on some parts. Usually I would put reverb on the snare and the toms and kind of have it like sent off to a different like reverb channel. And then I would put a little bit of kick in there too, just to add something there, but it's not like it's going to overwhelm it, because, you know, it's going to overwhelm the low end. You're going to have a lot of mud down there if you put the whole thing in there. But yeah, there's a little bit there.
Nice.
Cool.
So I was wondering, I'm listening to this, I can kind of pick out some influences, but I just want to know, like, are any artists in particular that you were like listening to a lot when you were making this, or that you were trying to kind of, I don't want to say like copy from, but like emulate, you know, like what influenced it?
With some of these songs being kind of older, like the ones from 2019, the Diamonds one that's out now is, that's kind of an older track from my original project. I call it Torobono, but it went by a couple different names throughout its thing. And that one was mostly kind of written by, or mostly composed, essentially. The parts were written by a former creative partner that I was working with at the time. And I just had a very big hand in arranging that and, you know, kind of helping it flow from one part to the next. And then I also wrote the lyrics on top of that. So when things kind of fell apart, you know, I felt like I'd kind of contributed enough to that, you know, I could still use that. And so around that time, we were kind of writing stuff along the lines of like Allman Brothers, Genesis, things of that nature. We were also really big into Yes, things like that. So old school prog stuff. And then at least with this Mad Strat, the first single that I dropped, that one was more influenced, I want to say, by Coheed and Cambria. I mean, that's going to be kind of a big influence. That's going to run through my musical DNA until I die. But
you got to put that on the bingo card, I think.
Yeah, people that have watched the or listened to the podcast before will know that Coheed and Cambria sneaks its way in with you a lot.
Every now and again.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
I mean,
but, very cool band.
Yeah. So with that, I guess the closest track to that, I can actually kind of pinpoint a specific track off of In Keeping Secrets. It kind of reminds me of like Al the Killer. It has sort of a similar riff there, but it's got a completely different bridge, completely different structure. So I think I did enough to sort of change that seedling of an idea. Some of these, I don't know. Working with that partner that I had introduced me to a lot of prog stuff. So there's going to be a lot of prog elements that kind of make its way into it. I don't know. It's just a style that I've really just enjoyed for a long time, even if I wasn't entirely aware of it, because I'm also really big into like thrash metal and stuff like that. Megadeth is a very big influence on me playing wise. They really helped me develop my right hand, along with Metallica. So there's a lot of kind of old school thrash and progressive stuff kind of mixed in there too. But I've also got some acoustic tracks on there. As far as that, I want to say like Fleet Foxes would be kind of an influence on that sort of thing. Especially a track that's going to be on there called Early Birds. That one definitely reminds me of kind of like Helplessness Blues from Fleet Foxes. So, yeah.
Very cool. How long is this album going to be? Like, what's the total runtime? And then you said also, building off of that, that like, there was a couple songs that are kind of like a suite together or something like that. They're kind of linked together. So yeah. That was very interesting to me as well. I want to hear about that.
Yeah. So the runtime is going to be around 50 minutes, 45, 50 minutes. Mm-hmm. It's going to be like 8 tracks. So there are a couple longer tracks. The title track, MAD, short for Mutually Assured Destruction, which is kind of what the whole album is just kind of based off of, lyrically wise, theme wise, just kind of how things just kind of get in the way, be it anger, be it personal belief, be it stuff like that, personal, you know, beef. Sometimes it just causes things to fall apart, and it's not always entirely one person's fault. It can be both people's fault at the same time, although there might be one party that may be more guilty than another. So, I mean,
but everybody suffers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's like the going to the geopolitical term, mutually assured destruction. It's very important to, you know, thematically understand that like everybody suffers when there's a problem.
Yeah. And the title track of that is kind of about a relationship that, you know, they're both like throwing stones and they're both in walls of glasses. Or glass. And they try and work it out, but there's just something that's just beneath the surface that just can't quite be resolved. And so it just falls apart. And, you know, they could talk it out, they could figure it out, but there's just nothing left. It's kind of, you know, no real gains after that point. The suite there, the Four Kings suite.
Can I hazard a guess real quick?
Yeah.
Dark Souls?
No.
Four Kings, right?
I mean, that's a Dark Souls boss. I mean, I think they based that boss off of that kind of idea. It's mostly, you know, to do with cards because it's, you know, diamonds, hearts, you know, clubs and spades. So diamonds with Revolution Time, that one relates to the cards, but also like, oh, shiny, like, you know, this is cool. We got a cool thing. These are cool ideas that we're coming up with. You know, we're playing cool stuff. And then we have hearts with Eternity's Sigh, where it's like, you know, we've run into some problems. You know, I'm having a hard time getting through to you. And, you know, it's, you know, I'm tired of talking. We got to do something. You know, things are getting kind of dire. And then it sort of on the back end of that track, it gets into like, well, nothing really matters at the end of the day. You know, it's more trying to kind of, I guess, let go of that sort of anger because it's sort of built up throughout the album. Then you have Mutually Assured Destruction, which kind of mentioned the, you know, the themes off of that.
What's the suit for that one?
Clubs.
Okay.
Yeah, makes sense.
It's also kind of a play on, I believe this quote is attributed to Einstein, but I know not with what weapons World War III will be fought, but World War IV will be fought with sticks and clubs and stuff like that. So it's sort of an allusion to that. And then with Spades, it's a song called Spiders. And that's kind of like, along with Mad's like, I think 9 minutes. And then, Spider Spades, that one's going to be like about 11 minutes, 10 and a half. And that one, again, Mad and Spider were also kind of co-written with that creative partner, helped arrange and, wrote the lyrics for him as well. But, yeah, so that Spider is going to be kind of long. It's going to have a number of different sections. It's going to have a jam section. I don't know, there's a couple jam sections, actually. There's a 7, then there's like a normal like minor key section, and then there's where the vocals will eventually come in. After that, until the end, I think is probably the strongest material we've ever written. You know, it's just kind of a shame that it all sort of ended up the way that it did. I don't know.
But you made it your own, and you made it happen. That's the other thing, is that it might not have found release.
That's kind of what I was kind of afraid of with that, was that, you know, I don't know if he's actually going to do anything with these songs. You know, I hope he eventually does, and I'm giving him the writing credit to eventually do that, because I'm not saying that it's purely my stuff, because it's not. I'm not trying to, you know, like steal that or anything.
It's very mature.
I mean, I feel a sense of entitlement because I helped write that stuff. And, you know, there's definitely Spiders. That one is very different from how we had initially written it and from how I guess he eventually wanted it. Because I showed him kind of the arrangement that I have on the album, and he didn't really like it. He didn't really like the key changes that I made. He didn't really, you know, kind of think that it fit, but I don't know. It, to each their own, and we're not working together, so this version's mine. Mm-hmm. So you can make your own version, you know.
Nice.
And with this, I'm not trying to throw like any kind of shade at my creative partner. You know, I really hope that he's doing well. I really hope that, you know, we both kind of find peace through this. And this was sort of what this album was me trying to find peace through this whole thing. Was to me, for me to just kind of set this to bed finally and just kind of move on.
Good way to handle it in a mature way. So is there, I know you obviously just finished recording an album, but you're going to look to keep writing music in the future.
Yeah.
And are you keen on the solo aspect, or do you think a group dynamic is going to be more fruitful?
I would love to have a band. I would love to have, you know, other players to play with and stuff like that. I really liked what we were doing as a group. I just want to be on the same page with people. Mm-hmm. I just want, and, you know, not to say that I want like full creative control or anything, because I need help with certain things.
It's very normal for a group to need each other, but to rotate people in and out. I mean, there's so many of those most famous bands of all time that give a lot of credit to one dude, and it's like, that's just not the reality of the situation. Sometimes those guys that were there for one album are hugely influential.
Right. I was actually kind of going through this with one of the future episodes that we're going to do, the Desert Island ones. And I mean, I guess spoiler alert, but I was looking at Black Market from Weather Report, and, you know, people love Weather Report for Jocko and, you know, Pierre Erskine and everything like that. Adrian Thomas, you know, Chester Thompson was on there. It was Adrian something. I can't remember if it was, but his last name. But yeah, it was like people kind of overlook some of the bass players and stuff like that.
I hate to cut you off, but I think we're coming near the end. So maybe we can reiterate, where can people go to find this album?
Pretty much anywhere you stream your music. It's on Spotify. It should be on Apple Music. I know it's on YouTube Music. The full album will drop on June 6th. The singles are Mad Strat and Diamonds Revolution Time. There's that.
And the artist name is just Noah
Miller.
The album name is?
Mutually Assured Destruction.
All right. Very cool. We, you know, we are ostensibly a vinyl record club, so I'm not gonna pressure you into getting a physical release anytime soon. But
just get one.
Maybe, maybe after you make it big and are all famous or something,
maybe
we can go back and get this one on vinyl.
Yeah, I'll
and
that
we'll retroactively give a reason for us to have talked about it today.
Yeah, but, no pressure.
Cool.
No pressure.
We really appreciate you coming on here and talking about it.
Hey, really appreciate you giving me the time to talk about it. I mean, even as impromptu as it was, but
I'd love hearing about the creative process, everything that went into this album. But yeah, if you're interested at all in coming to any of our meetings, we are currently on our summer schedule, which you can check out on our website, which will be linked with the show. All of our past episodes, past playlists, past meeting themes, future meeting themes, anything you'd ever really want to know about the record club, you can find it all there. Thank you all for checking in. We hope to see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.